call to order at 4 o'clock. City Council, we have quorum, we're good. President Larson, up here. Vice President Malagar,
present.
Vice President Brown.
Here.
Vice President Ripka.
Present.
Vice President Bourgeois.
Present.
Member Flannan.
Here.
Councilor Lynn. Councilor Anderson is on the live stream. Councilor Bates.
Here.
Councilor Malale.
Here.
Councilor Hosseini. Councilor Bielak.
Here.
Councilor Cutarm is on the live stream. Councilor Lee.
Here.
Councilor Hussein. Councilor Stat.
Here.
I'm present.
Councilor C.
Here.
Councilor Ansari. Councilor Yao. Councilor Rosalind. Councilor Bose. Councilor Agwan. Proxy, live stream. Councilor Hennessek. Councilor Chung is not here. Councilor Ahmad. Oh, I'm sorry, Councilor Ahmad has the proxy. Councilor Sunday.
Here.
Councilor Nguyen. Councilor Azuki is the live stream. Councilor Hadouche. Councilor Kim. Councilor DePinto. This is the live stream. Councilor Agarwal.
Here. Here.
Councilor Rizvi.
Yes.
Councilor Bruce. Sorry. Councilor Buckhart. Respectfully acknowledge that our university and our students union are located in Treaty 6 territory. We're grateful to be on Cree, Dene, Soto, Métis, Blackfoot, and Nakota Sioux territory, specifically the ancestral space of the Papish Chase Cree. These nations are our family, friends, faculty, staff, students, and peers. Members of the University of Alberta Students Union, we honor the nation's relationship. We aspire for our learning, research, teaching, and governance to acknowledge and work towards decolonization of Indigenous knowledge and traditions. Our next meeting of the Student Council will take place this Tuesday, February 5th, 304 Plain La Cert at FQ St. John. So, because we had a meeting less than a week ago, and we have another meeting less than a week from now, unless there is any objections, I would like to skip over the presentations, executive reports, board of committee reports, open forum questions here. Now, we can allow open forum in there, if council so chooses, to give the gateway a chance to ask questions. You guys like that? Okay, so we'll keep open forum. Because we're only debating one item, question period, I'm still going to get rid of, and any questions about the item at hand can be dealt with during debate on the item. Not a bunch of questions during question period this time. Okay? So any questions or objections to that? All right. We'll skip through presentations, executive committee reports. Oh, and President Larson is here as well. All right, we will begin with open forum.
Vice President Ripka, about the inclusion of washrooms in this levy. So earlier this year, we had a presentation from the university that saying that washrooms are not necessarily always considered deferred maintenance. So why are they included in this levy?
Ms. President Ripka.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm sorry, I'm not sure if I understand the question, but this levy was intentionally left open broadly because if students of the future would like to put down money to renovate the bathroom in a specific building, then they may do so if they so choose.
Another question as well. During that presentation, it was also mentioned that sometimes adding outlets is not as easy as just constructing them. So how will this levy navigate that challenge of balancing students' want for more electrical outlets, but also the capacities that the university has in terms of electrical grids in certain buildings?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's for this type of feasibility question that we have created the process of having the combined committee of students, students union representatives, and the university representatives on it to ensure that all projects that are proposed are at least feasible. When it comes to specifically whether a building can handle more outlets or not, that will be decided upon on a case-by-case basis. But because the University of Alberta is on their own grid, there is a lot of opportunity to add or subtract electrical outlets or full panels as need be. My guess also is with any of this type of project, we would be doing it in partnership with projects that potentially are already happening. So if they're going in to renovate the electrical system, then we can propose exactly where students would benefit most from extra outlets.
Any further questions?
Mr. Speaker.
Yes.
Hi, this is for Vice President Ripka. My question is, when I was looking through the draft of this proposal, it seems like all the consultations were happening in late November, early December. Why were they happening that late into the first term? Why were they not moved ahead earlier in the term?
Vice President Ripka.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. That's just the timeline that we had set out once we consulted with council for the first time. We went council and then council faculty of association, so they were briefed on the kind of the two-option consultation, the same presentation that council received, and then we did more consultations at the Student Leader Summit, and then we pivoted towards specific faculty association consultations. So it's just the process that we followed.
Thank you, Mr. Ripka. Questions from our guests? All right, seeing none, we'll conclude open forum. Brings us into the matter at hand. We have no board committee business. We have one item on the agenda for this evening. Yes?
Can I motion to move it to committee of the whole?
Motion to committee of the whole. To discuss the item at hand or for a separate reason?
To discuss not the item or the question yes or no, but just to discuss solely the report that's sent out. So the executives or Vice President Ripka can answer questions. Similar to what we did last time? Yeah.
We're gonna go into the item first, we'll do it inside the item. So the Vice President Ripka has a chance to introduce first, following which then yes, I will allow that motion.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, Vice President Ripka, seconded by Councilor Belak, moved to approve the student space referendum question as follows. I believe the one that is on here is slightly different from the one that was in the previous papers. And Vice President Ripka actually, in her presentation, will be informing us of an amended version, which I will bring up for us right away. Vice President Ripka, you have the floor to introduce the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you all for coming out today, especially on a Saturday. I know this last week may have been confusing and frustrating for people, but it's great to see that you're all taking your role as a student representative seriously. Although we have been talking about this proposal since September 4th, I know that you all lead busy lives, and it was great to see all the involvement and active consultation over the past couple of days. We hope that the document attached to the agenda offers answers to most of your questions, but of course, if you have more, please feel free to ask. We have remained as open as possible throughout this entire process, from the first presentation to council up until now. Transparency is key to getting council support on a proposal like this, which is why we postponed the meeting from Tuesday to address the already tabled motion. This proposal is very important to the sustainability of the Students Union building, a home to thousands of students every day, and also the overall comfort of our campus community. It is something that the university has openly agreed to working on with us. Remember that this vote is allowing students to decide democratically whether they agree with this proposal. If you think this is a proposal that could benefit the lives of students, then great. If you believe that this proposal needs to be reviewed further, that is also your right. I advise you to vote as leaders in whatever way your morals tell you to. Thank you again for the time and the energy you're putting into this situation. We've heard that the main concern about this proposal is the wording of the question, so we have drafted a more fulsome version of it, as the speaker will put up on the screen. If this addresses the transparency concerns, then great, and if not, then we can take any feedback and amend it need be. I'll just read out the question because it might be kind of hard to see. So, it would cost over $1 billion to address all maintenance needs on campus. Government funding for updating university facilities usually leaves out student spaces such as study and community areas across campus. The student spaces levy will create a fund for students to renew non-academic, student-oriented spaces where students can study, socialize, relax, or host events. This levy will exclude spaces such as classrooms, lecture halls, libraries, labs, and other academic spaces, as well as administrative offices. These are clearly funded by the province. The levy will create a fund that students may use to update a space of their choice. All proposals will be vetted by a joint student and university committee, with the ultimate approvals made by the Students Union Students Council. The student spaces levy will cost $9 per term in fall 2019. In fall 2020 would cost a maximum of $18 per term as decided by Students Council. In fall 2021 would cost a maximum of $27 per term as decided by Students Council, and the levy would match the rate of inflation onward. The fee may be decreased based on external fundraising and will be reviewed after 5 years by the student body. Spring and summer sessions, students would be assessed a levy at a rate of 50% of the fall and winter rate. Augustana students will be exempt from this levy. Do you support the student spaces levy?
Thank you, Vice President Rimka. Now, Councillor Sunday, I will allow your motion. So, Councillor Sunday has moved to we need the whole sort of question and answer period, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a second for that? Governor Flamin? All in favor of committee of the whole? Any opposed? All right, we'll go to committee of the whole. I would like to remind council, this is for question and answers. If you have points to make on the item, if you specifically have points or statements to make, please save them for debate. Once we feel as though your questions have been answered sufficiently, we will then return to debate and you'll have the opportunity to bring up your points. This is an opportunity for you to get information from Vice President Ripka or anybody else who you think you may be able to get information from pertinent to the item on the table. Okay? Yes, Councilor Mullen.
I have a question for you. Concerning that there's new information that was produced around like 5 minutes ago by myself, I'm wondering if it would be possible at some time or when we'd be able to review that information at all. Just because, because I think it's important. Like, it's from the surveys that we conducted, so I'm wondering if there would be time allocated for councillors to go through that.
The information you brought up?
Yeah, just several councillors have brought up, so
okay.
I sent it to the council email, so I'm just wondering if there'd be time allocated for us to go through that information.
Here's what I'll do. I'll allow the question and answer period. Following that, I will give the opportunity for that, because I think it's related to the surveys, I think the information that is valuable. While the question and answer period is going on, I would recommend you start looking at it. If you feel as though we need more time to go through it afterwards, then we can have that discussion then. Okay. So Vice President Ripka, the floor is yours to take questions from.
Yes, Councilor Sunday.
on page 10 of your report, under why not make it possible to opt out of this fee, it states some of the projects that the fund undertakes are anticipated to be substantial. What are some of the projects that are anticipated to be substantial?
This is probably alluding mostly to projects in sub, because we do anticipate getting matching resources from other areas, whether it's the university or faculty specific or donors, for projects outside of sub, whereas sub is our own area to take care of. So anything from renovating a whole floor to an entrance to Dinwiddie Lounge, it would be anything like that. So major projects would be anything that you require a large loan for. That being said, it does not exclude other places on campus. Again, if students choose that fourth floor education needs upwards of $1 million for something, we would still probably get matching funds for that, because there's no way that the Students' Union would do it completely independently, but that would also constitute a large project. Yes?
What is the difference between semester and term?
There is no difference.
Can we put semester?
Yes. I will just remind you that this is specifically about the report. This session is just about the report. If it's amendments to the question, we can get into that after we move back into standing orders.
Okay. So I don't know if this is strictly speaking this builder board, but I think it's related to the report. So you said on Tuesday that the university had given verbal agreements that they would cooperate with us on a two-week basis for this. But you said you were also seeking a written agreement from the university. Do you have this written agreement from the university?
Unfortunately, we were not able to get written agreement just given the time constraints, but again, we've gotten verbal commitment from the VP of Facilities and Operations, Andrew Sharman, and also, as you all saw in the presentation from FNO, Andrew Ng also said that they would be willing to partner on something of the sort. Yeah.
I think I'm now asking questions with regard to what he said. How is this going to prevent dependence on the university? Because if you do this project and prevent it, maybe student spaces, how is this going to further contribute to the problem way that increase abundance of student spaces and develops this independent student way? It's like, oh, we're not responsible for this. We're rather student space and won't do anything about it.
They know that the students would never pay for their entire bill of $1 billion. That's an unreasonable request of them. The great thing about this proposal is it provides a seat at the table for projects that will be that will happen in regards to student spaces. So whatever their plans are, whatever our plans are, we can try to harmonize them to ensure that student voices are heard. Yes.
On page 15 of the report, the question why this amount is proposed, and the response is somewhat sparse. So I'm just hoping you can elucidate that a little bit and explain why, not necessarily why the fee increases, but why 54 was selected as the target amount, or the potential target amount?
Yes. If you scroll down to the appendix, there's also financial projections, which hopefully can answer your question a little bit more. But from a more, from a softer side, less technical, when we surveyed students, we surveyed $8 to $12. $12 was pretty obvious that it was too much. $8 was good. $10 was good. And so we went with $9 just to kind of hit like the middle point. And then, as you can see in Appendix C, it also projects up to the next 25 years what these funds would be used for.
Can I just follow up on that? So within the question posed in the survey for $8 to $10, was the question framed, would you pay in or like opt or like would you pay for this fee if you were not receiving the benefits yet? Or was it just framed generally as like how much would you in or like pay for a fee that regarded this sort of
So there were six different questions that were proposed, that were posed. There was one that was a straight $30 off the bat, and so that we didn't explicitly ask, would you be willing to pay for this even if you're not going to see the benefits within your degree kind of thing, but that's kind of implied. as opposed to the 8-16-24, the staggered, or the 10-20-30. Those were also voted or surveyed to see kind of how those different results played out. And I did share the raw data in the council chat if you want to take a look at that.
Yes, and I was able to, and there was no questions associated right above it. So if you could clarify that, that'd be super.
Yes. To find access to those, if you go to the presentations that I gave to council on December 11th, all of the wording is explicitly in there. Yes, Councilor Padouche.
Was it clear in the question that it was an augmentation of like $8 to $12, or was that was $12 sort of like? Was it clear in the question that like you're going to be paying not $9, but you're going to be paying like $54? Was it clear like in the when you're getting the raw data?
Yeah, let me just pull up this presentation.
Yeah,
so
I just.
Same preamble. We did test two different preambles. One of them used the word deferred maintenance, so we were essentially trying to test whether students even knew what that meant or not. The results did show that there was, like, the question in which we used the word deferred maintenance, it performed more poorly, and so that kind of implies that students just don't really know what that means. And so we went with the kind of, it would cost over $1 billion to address for the preamble. So this is how it was set out. Is version one was $8 per term in fall 2019, $16 per term in fall 2020, $24 in fall 2021. In version two, it was $10 per term in fall 2019, $20, and then $30, you know, and then $12, $24, $36, and then $30 starting fall. Same. And then the version five, the only difference was it's essentially an idea of like 10, 20, 30, but we phrased it more $10 and it would increase by $10 and then would increase by $10, similar to how the original question that we proposed through bylaw committee was phrased.
Right. Just a follow-up question from what you said before. When you said how the one that used the word deferred maintenance is more poorly, didn't that kind of explain that the students knew what, like knew better what deferred maintenance is because maybe they don't want to pay for
those were just kind of still ideas. Like I said, we were really trying to use the consultations to inform the amount that people wanted to pay. And so this was prior to the annual survey. This was just, we didn't even know what the value proposition was going to be, whether it was, you know, funds that were used just for stuff, funds that were used just for the theater. So at that point, we were just kind of up in the air with it. And I don't know what the date of that specifically was, but at that point, apparently, we were talking about the $20. And yeah, that's the issue. Yeah.
Given the values of enrollment around student projects, what the students came to faculties and also see the council, what's the contingency plan to make sure that students that are more involved in the council are using the project to advance? I see, good example, what's the engineering students have? Don't actually care about the listed problem. How do we not make sure, what's the piece of time to make sure that few students don't concentrate on the projects or the funds available? What's the plan to save them? Or if, say, as faculty people are what's the role, the most likely scenario for the funds of the project won't capitalize on the project because A, engineering students have don't care, because the students don't actually care about the funds. What's the plan to save them? The even distribution.
I think what we can do as a students' union is give equal access to opportunity. the opportunity is the same for all undergraduate students, and it's their responsibility to take advantage of it if they want to or not.
Okay, so a follow-up on that. Because given that our average student doesn't care, honestly, doesn't know anything about governance, and it's mostly FAs for student counselors, and I'm going to be honest here, most students say business engineering have no incentive to build like you say engineering students in context, they have no incentive to run this project and say as part of anything. How would that affect the finding this kind of approach to them versus who the most needs, the most space they need finding?
Yeah, so this is a problem that we've been grappling with a lot because obviously we know that on the east side of campus they need more funding than maybe the west side of campus. And also, we originally had proposed that FAs would directly propose the funds or propose the projects, but then you run into this circumstance where what if an FA collapses, as we've seen in recent years? And so that's where we decided to pivot towards individual students who propose the funds. In order to mitigate that first concern, we've outlined in the criteria that council will use to evaluate projects things such as consideration for marginalized communities, and the funds can't be used for the same building 2 years in a row, so that we try to spread the wealth around a little bit.
I'd just like to remind council as well, please try and speak loud, because it's trying to get those mics, people at the back, hard to hear them.
Is there a reason why
we're
getting a report only 24 hours before there's a vote on it? Because I found it really hard to read 68 pages in, I sleep too, right? So it's not actually 24 hours. And professors don't even draw 68 pages on something to analyze fully. I honestly don't think I had enough wise counsel. I talked to my dean and I showed her the referendum question. That was the only thing I was able to talk to her about because this was put on at 3:30 and I went to see her earlier and I had to interrupt her in her work. And I was agitated. I had to go talk to her because she knew these things and I don't know a lot of stuff. So I had to interrupt her and she was kind enough to let me interrupt her.
I do understand that this is a time crunch. The big thing is that we have been updating council throughout this entire process on the consultation that's been done, and we've been trying to keep you updated to where we're at with everything. This question went to bylaw committee on January 15th, and there were no huge concerns, and so that just kind of educated us that, oh yeah, we're doing enough communicating. It wasn't until the last council meeting that everyone was saying, no, we need more information, and that's when we rushed to get this report out.
Given the average students, I don't see myself hanging this up. If you go to the faculty association asking the next students to hang out in this up, go to business, ask them if they hang out in this up, ask them to. They don't see them, but collectively as students, people hang out in the students' union building. So how are you gonna say that? How are you gonna say? Obviously, SQ building needs the funding, they need the money. Who are the individuals placed to say to raise the project to say maintain sample? What's the process to go through that? What's the process to say improving the SQ project? As soon as you're building itself.
It's the same process as outlined in the document.
So, are you saying that a student will actually raise class signatures and do that same? But average students, most students don't care about students' union because they don't have any family issue because most of you say, from an arts, they care about how Tory works, humanities work, or business books. But most people just see this as a hangout place, less of anything that they find. What's the procedures for them? One to say to buy new couches or new spaces to what's the process?
The process is the same for all buildings on campus and will be evaluated equally. But if you do kind of feel that that's worthy of debate, then we can take it up during the debate. Yes. Counselor, sorry.
I just had a question about page 25 of the report. It says under mandate, this proposed committee's mandate would be the project is not a building that is planned to be demolished or significantly renovated within 2 years. So say it with if the student union renovates, does that mean it's not eligible for this fund for another 2 years? And what I also as well, what do you define as significant renovations? I guess we're getting questions on that.
The way that I would interpret that is if the building is going to be renovated such that the space that is proposed will be removed or affected in some way, then it would not be eligible. And the same would go for sub.
And I just have one other question about the proposed members specifically. I was just wondering why you had come to the decision of having the general manager as just a regular member and then the vice president of operations finance.
We just came to that decision. Again, I do want to remind everyone in this room that this is still a draft, and we will be accepting feedback until February 12th, assuming that this passes today. So if you do have any major concerns, it can be changed. We just felt that this was a representative group of people that could speak on behalf of these, or not speak on behalf, but to vet these proposals. Specifically with the general manager, they have institutional knowledge of the building, and they would serve sort of as the university representatives for the campus. The general manager would for the students' union building to vet projects. Yes.
I'm not the biggest fan of us voting on something that can be changed. I feel like if we're going to be voting on something, we should be voting on something that's solid. I just want to be sure.
Yeah, you are voting on the question today. The question that outlined the concept of the proposal.
Absolutely, and we're still taking consideration in general the whole system.
Councilor Duchemar, reminder that you this is for question. It's a great point. Update and save it for debate.
So you had great FAQs. So I'm wondering if you think that you adequately answered them.
I think that's up for council and for students to decide.
Okay.
The FAQs are just questions that came up throughout consultation, and I think there are more of them. And I think that the more that we hear about the answers that we give, it will only strengthen the campaign. So please do provide any feedback. Councilor Sunday?
I just have a question about the approval process.
Sure.
So say that there is something that's put forward and maybe the committee doesn't take it. Is there appeal? Is there like an appeals process for that?
There's no appeal to the committee. However, the committee will advise how to strengthen the proposal. And I believe that is explicit.
Power over what gets changed, basically, because I feel like there's like a vote.
the, or is it generally a breach of bylaw proposal attached, which the group has to stay to? And if there's changes, then obviously the bylaw committee has to be informed and things like that. So does that mean for something like this, because it's proposed by the Students Union, there's no kind of proposal like that?
So it comes back down to what the group was saying, that this is about the question. This is not about the actual what's going to happen with it. This is about asking students a question. Once that actually happens, when the strike of the committee happens, when all those things happen, when we actually are doing the nitty-gritty details of it, then yes, those proposals need to come to council to be reviewed.
No, but my question was, even if it was a student group, for example, were to propose something like this, and we were just reviewing the question, they still have to have a proposal that's attached to it that bylaw committee looks at and answers a number of questions set up by law. Does that mean this, because it's from the Students Union, it doesn't have to go through their rigorous kind of
point of information? This is not a dedicated fee unit.
What is
this? Will be a Class 8 fee.
So it's a Students Union fee? Oh. So then I guess this, yeah, okay, that was my question. So this is a Students Union fee.
Councillor Bellinger? Will vote on like standing orders of the committee. Probably we could put it into bylaw as to how the rubric that council uses to balance all these factors in approving proposals, those can be written into bylaw also.
But it doesn't have to be a good question?
It may, but again, this is asking about questions on the report, so we can get to that.
Another reminder, questions about the report, please. Not questions about the question or points on the idea or questions. Questions about the report. Do you have a point or a question?
It's a question of your words.
Yeah, still
yeah,
so much.
Still a question. Yeah. So you keep using the words marginalized, and I'm wondering in what way you're understanding it, because I feel like, yeah, what way you're understanding it in regards to this report.
So I put that in directly based on feedback from a member of the NSSA. And so they just said, you know, I'm concerned that on council we only have one vote, and so how are our projects ever going to be approved? And so I just put that in directly from that consultation. Again, it is up to council to decide exactly what that definition covered. I probably have a different idea than you do, right? And so that's why it is kind of like a team process of creating this, like this rubric specifically.
And do you not think that leaves a lot of space for different interpretations that might not be effective in addressing this understanding of marginalization?
It most likely does, and I think it will probably change year after year, too.
So, further down in the reports, there's a question in the FAQs. I'm sorry, I scrolled up, so I can't find the exact page now, but it asks essentially whether or not we should worry that is going to see this as an opportunity to transfer the burden of payments onto students. And the answer to the question is essentially that the proposal has like a very clear outlined limits and university administration understands them. But it is true that university administration, while they don't do enough, does do some student space overhauls, right? And so like recent ones would be the one you were talking about last time, like in biosci and chemistry, places like that. So while it says in the report that they understand that this can't apply to academic spaces and like mechanical deferred maintenance, do you think we should worry that the university might stop or do much less renovation of student spaces if they think that if students really want a student space, then students
I think, first of all, this will strengthen our voice when it comes to advocacy on student spaces on campus. All of the projects, or I foresee all of the projects that we do outside of SUB will be in partnership with some sort of group. And so I think that they, because we, as the students' union, want a project to go through, then they would also have to put down the money. So I don't think that concern of them not addressing them would be there. In the event that this fee stops, then maybe that's a whole nother situation. But from a personal point of view, I don't think they're doing enough to look after student spaces currently. I know that there have been things that have been renovated recently, but students weren't consulted on that, you know? Yeah.
If I may, my concern is just that, like, yes, they're not doing enough now, but will they do less if they think that we are going to pick up the tab for like the absolute minimum amount of student maintenance that we need to accept, like student maintenance?
I don't foresee that happening. I just don't, because the university, they're trying to make students' lives better also. You know, we do all have a collective goal of making this the best campus community that is possible. And so I don't think that they would just say, oh, like students' unions are going to help, oh, then we'll just give them this job completely. I don't think that would happen. Yeah. Yes, Councilor Tsi. Yeah, that's the point of the students' union, is to hold the university accountable for the things that they are set out to do or the things that they say that they will do. So.
Thank you. So in reviewing the document, I obviously didn't get a chance to read the whole thing, but I was impressed with the consultation. Like, and maybe I wasn't sure with, like, for, I can't speak for other counselors, but like looking at Appendix A, like it seemed like there was like quite a fair bit of consultation. But I think my question kind of stems from that is, like, in terms of facilities and operations, having funding guaranteed from students, if this does pass, does that guarantee that we'll actually be able to work with facilities to, like, be on board in certain buildings per se?
Yeah, again, we unfortunately don't have written confirmation of this, but we have two explicit occasions of minuted meetings that they have said that they would be in support of this. So you do also have to remember that each project will be on a case-by-case situation. This is not to imply that students suddenly have money and they can just throw it at the university and it takes over their projects that already exist. And so they are willing to work with us on student priorities with student-oriented spaces.
That's a question from the live stream for you. From Miranda Wynn, who's the proxy for Councillor Ahmad. The question is, in the report it mentions the fee we reviewed after 5 years. What is meant by review? Is it another referendum?
Yes.
Okay. On the note of consultation, for CSJ, I was noticing how in the box that has all is a consultation, like half of them were my own thoughts that I shared with you, and then half of them were a bit other thoughts that I didn't recognize as my own, and so I went back to the association and I asked them how the consultation process went for them. We had a president turnover, mm-hmm. and so I asked the previous president what happened to consultation, because the rest of the faculty or association did not recognize, didn't realize that we'd gotten consulted. And I'm just concerned as to why the president, only the president of the faculty association got consulted and not the vice president. As well as when there was that turnover, as well, it should have been the president just did that transition period. But I just am concerned that no one wanted to have the association. Yeah, so
the way that my team conducted the consultations were we emailed all of the FA presidents directly and we said we can consult you in whichever way is most convenient, whether it is with you specifically, the faculty association president, or we can drop by one of your meetings or whatever. So IOFSG chose apparently to do just the president consultation, and as you mentioned, it should have been transitioned if there was a turnover of president. Yeah.
On the same note, I was at a faculty yesterday, the same that you gave it's a presentation, and the day before that I had enough chance actually to have a discussion with you,
say that, you know, from this presentation, from the perspective of my association, they didn't have enough information to see whether I support the project or not, because I didn't feel like there was enough information given out, what discussion or question to give to them.
Yeah, so that presentation was alluding to October 25th when I went to the Council of Faculty Association Senior Board and I presented the same presentation that I gave to council. But then the BSA also had a follow-up consultation done by one of the executive crew, campaign crew members on a one-on-one basis with the president also.
Any further questions? All right, seeing none, everyone is satisfied with the report. Questions of the report? I would look favorably upon a motion to return to Committee of the Difference. Member Flamin? Seconded by Vice President Brown. All in favor of returning to Committee of the Difference? Any opposed? All right, we're now in Committee of the Difference, which means, and now, this is now your chance to bring up your concerns, bring up your support, whatever it happens to be. If you'd like to speak, please raise your placard and look at you. I will acknowledge you and ask you to speak on this. We'll begin debate with Vice President Bachar.
I would like to move into committee of the whole again, specifically to talk about the amended question going in a circle, allowing every single counselor to provide their feedback on the amendments, because I don't think that there's a few counselors that didn't speak during the report process, and I would love to hear, well, we would all love to hear their thoughts, I'm sure, so that is my motion.
I'll say that's in order. Is there a second for that motion? Councilor Bielak, thank you very much. All in favor? Any opposed?
Sure. So in reading the question, I guess one concern, I guess, right off the bat is whether it's clear enough for the readers. So if it's really, so it says $9 per term in the fall 2019. I'm just wondering if that should be semester versus term, because there's a difference.
During this committee of the whole, does Councillor Agarwal have to propose an amendment to the amendment question?
So, because we're committee of the whole, this is meant to be a discussion item.
Okay, then we can save our feedback for the
end. Get through all the feedback, following which, if anyone would like to make an amendment, then you can move to amend once we return to the meeting.
So, I guess I think it should be semester.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, can we do this in a way where each person says their things and there's no response from executives?
I think that's a good option. Let's do that.
Sure.
So everyone, and I will also give the executives a chance to put their feedback in as well.
I'll just say that anything that is suggested to be amended, I'll just put in this document that I have, and then we'll discuss them after.
Okay. Councillor Staff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Although I guess this is the committee of the whole, so I don't have to say that, I don't think. So I've been talking quite a bit with the Director of Advocacy with the BSA the last couple of days, and he was just giving some good feedback on kind of what I told him the referendum question was that I'd like to put forward. Primarily just clarifying the fee is into perpetuity a little bit more, just more directly, as well as I have the wording here somewhere, and I'll propose it in a better format later on, but that the fee is into perpetuity and that the students' union has the authority to end it at any point, and just more of an open format, so students that read this will read the question will recognize that, just so we're very open and transparent about that. That's all I have to add, though. Thank you.
Wording. wording of the question. So if you feel something in here is not clear or can be said differently, that is up to you. Once we return to debate, then you'll be welcome to debate the merit of the idea itself. You can, this is about your opinions, but about your opinions about how the question is formatted and worded as amended. Okay? Let's return to debate. That purpose of that will be to hash it out over whether or not you like it. And Governor Flatt. Oh, Governor Flatt.
Okay, thank you. The only thing that I can think of, and I might be, disagreement a little bit, but I've seen a lot of debate about if it should be done in a per-term model or a per-year model. I guess the problem for me is I've heard like it's better to have it in a per-year model in the way that it's more transparent on a yearly basis. However, the way I think, I often find in myself thinking per-term costs make more sense to me when it comes to university, at least. So, like, just the way I've been trying to, it makes the most sense to me when I think about it in a per-term model. What I understand there are problems with that as well. Even just like when I think about, for example, the FAFSA Oasis has, it's $2.50 per semester, and that just makes more sense to me also thinking about the semesterly gains rather than the yearly gains. That's just my only thought, and I understand that I'll probably be not totally accepted, and I'm more than happy to defer to kind of like our consensus about that issue ultimately.
Okay, so we heard earlier that this is going to be a Class A fee if passes, which is new for me. And in the absence of any rubric on how a Class A fee is created or structured, I'm referring to the rubric that's used for the DFU fees. The purpose of the fee, which is clearly outlined, the amount per student per term of the fee, which is on there, whether students are able to opt out of the fee is missing. And I think people need to know that if this passes, they can't opt out of it. How the fee is administered to part-time students, Augustana students, and off-campus students. Augustana students are mentioned, but the other two are not. I think it's important for part-time students to know that if they're only taking one class, when this maxes out, $54 is going to affect them a lot more proportionally than somebody taking five classes. Whether or not the fee applies to the spring and summer terms, it doesn't appear on the question as is, although it does show up in the report. And I think that's all I have.
Vice President Bourgeois.
Yeah, I think based on the information we have about all of the student consultations and the amended question, I think this is a fair question to send to students. I think that it's important that we see what students think about paying for this fee and going from there.
Vice President Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yes, similar to Vice President Bourgeois, I wasn't personally involved in a lot of the development of this project, this proposal, and so I've done a lot of reading and digging into it in the last couple of weeks, and I've seen how council has given suggestions and amendments, and I think that the question, the amended question that is presented on the screen there, is the amalgamation of an incredible amount of extensive consultation from all bodies across campus, and I think it is a good reflection of what students want and addresses a pressing need that we're not going to see any sort of action on in the future unless we do something.
I think going along with what has been already said, a lot of the suggestions I think are really great because it does make the question clear. Overall, I do agree with the fact that the question was confusing when it was first proposed, because even I, being part of this whole process, found that it was hard to understand and hard to read. But I think taking into consideration the feedback that we received from faculty associations, department associations, student groups, faculty counselors, student union counselors, that this question is doing a lot better of a job at addressing the concerns, because it clearly outlines what I thought was the biggest lack in the previous question, was defining what an academic and non-academic space look like, or what they could potentially be. I think this is a very visionary question, which I think is important, because students will, at the end of the day, be able to decide if this is a vision that meets the needs that they want to see on campus. So overall, I think that it's worded well with the addition of the feedback that's already been heard. And I do want to say, like, if the speaker could let people on the live stream know that if they could write written responses, I could also like to hear those. Okay, thank you.
Councillor Hussain.
Well as winter 2019 and spring summer 2019 or something like that.
for next term, so put it all in 1 year. And if you want to put it in a term, then say semester, because semester is the most student-friendly word. Like, no one says term, it's normally, it's just semester, you know? So that'll be easier to identify with the students, because this is, like, you know, we're trying to, like identify the students, and they're reading this after all. You have to, you know, write rhetorically for them. And, I think we should say that this is a student's union fee, and if it is an non-instructional student's union fee, I think we should put that in there, because it's in the bare facts. It's easy that people are like, oh, that's where it fits in into my finances. Like, for example, JP, like, the athletics revenue to the law center, like, that's just another thing that we call the big, like, student spaces levy fee. I don't know what the name is going to be, but it's probably going to be put in there after all. So I guess the only question I had would be, is it a non-instructional fee? Would it go down into that?
Really quickly, can I just have a point of
information?
Yes, specifically from the Vice President. This is just a question before I start my speech. Sorry. Because this isn't a DFU, does that mean this fee would just be included into the regular student union membership fee we all pay?
No, it will be. It will be similar to the sub. What is it called? The sub renewals fee, I believe. Sub-renovation fee. So it will be completely separate from the Students' Union membership fees purposefully because of the specific use of the funds.
That's one question for members. So then, on Fair Tracks, I don't know if I see that sub-renewal fee, so
yeah.
Will it just go, in, when I look at Fair Tracks, when I go into like the layout of my fees, will there be an extra line for or will it just be
someone? To be honest, I'm not sure. I'm not sure how the registrar chooses to label their fees. I'm guessing that we could request them to split it up, but I'm not quite positive.
Thank you.
Dr.
Belcourt.
I'd like to say that I agree with
the issue that they're facing, you know, I think that they should be included, like, for so
So my only problem with the question as currently proposed is that it doesn't necessarily mention the sub at all. I think if a student was reading this, they may not think that the sum of the funds could go to student community building. And I think it's important that I think sub, you know, at least once needs to be put in here, especially because the amount of fee was decided according to page 13 of the report, because the amount reflects the expected cost to maintain sub over the long run. So because of that, I think something about the student community building should definitely be in there. Otherwise, I think the question itself. Can non-counselors comment at this point?
I'm going to say no, because I can't have answered the voting question. So I have one person so far. Those of you in the live stream, please, the rest of you, send me your statements. I only have one person right now who has given their feedback. And it's from the proxy for Councillor Ahmad, has said, the referendum question should specifically say reviewed by referendum after 5 years, if that's how it's going to be reviewed. That is the feedback that they would like to give. Okay, from President Larson, based on the information contained within the question, I think this is a fair referendum question to send to students. Councillor Cunard, I agree with the points brought up by Governor Flamin and Councillor Hadoosh, Moale and Lee. The Governor Flamin and Councillors Hadoosh, Moale, Lee, and Belcourt, and personally don't feel I could add much more to the conversation at this time, unfortunately. That's all I've received from individuals on the live stream. There are several people out there who haven't sent me anything. But that is what I received from the live stream.
Point of information?
Yes.
So I checked my bear tracks, and it looks like both Class A and Class B fees are lumped in under the Students Union Dedicated Fees line on bear tracks.
Are they set in separate lines in
no.
there, or just lumped in all as one?
All as one.
Okay, thank you, everyone. Oh, and we have...
Point of information.
Yes.
I guess this is a really... I'm just confused. So is this a dedicated fee unit, or is this like a student union?
This is a Class A student union fee, as it is, and as, sorry.
But not part of the student union like membership fee, okay, correct?
Is membership fee is different, no.
Okay.
It is a separate fee that is people who become students if they so choose to go with it. That is separate from membership and also separate from the dedicated fees. Mr. President Batner, do you have a point on that? Yes.
Is there a way that you can at people who haven't given their feedback yet? Because is there a way that works in the chat? I just truly just, I feel like if they can't give their feedback, then the leaving committee on the whole might be like preemptive.
Okay, I have a few more that have put their feedback in. So I'll read these and I'll see who hasn't done it yet. From Councilor DePinto, I agree with what has been said. You should read either per semester or per year with the amounts doubled to reflect both terms. As well, I think in perpetuity needs to be re-added, or at least it needs to be made clear that the timeline is indefinite. I also think it needs to be clear that the fee is mandatory. Separate from the wording, I'm concerned the university has not formally agreed to support whatever project is proposed. Casual verbal agreement to consider student points is not the same as being willing to support projects. As I proposed, I worry that we would face considerable challenges working with the university, even if this receives support from students. Comment from Levy's feasibility is important in order to send this question to students. From Councilor Anderson, I think it's a good idea, but I'm still very on the fence. I don't have a whole lot to add that has not already been said. Councilor Izuki, with regard to the fees, is it possible to clarify this is not an opt-out option for students? Let's see who else has not submitted. So and that is everyone. That actually makes everyone.
I would like to move into the committee of the difference.
Committee of the difference, that is in order. Is there a second for that? Councillor Staff, thank you very much. All in favor of returning to the committee of the difference? Any opposed? Seeing none, return to the committee of the difference. Let's get this show on the road. I believe, as we already had an established speaking list, I will add Councillor Sunday to it, but Councillor Hussein, you have the floor.
Yes. Are we having a recess?
At 5:30, yes. At 5:30, we will recess if we're not finished by then. Is that a point, or do you want to be added to speak?
As a point of parliamentary inquiry,
yes.
Can we have it earlier? So can I actually request recess earlier to review the materials that were brought forward?
Yeah, you can just motion to recess.
Motion
to recess. That is clear. Move to recess. I'll move that in order. Is there a second? Councillor Risby, thank you very much. All in favor of recessing at this point? Any opposed? All right, we will recess for 15 minutes. We come back.
Just take a break.
Oh, wow.
like the stuff like the
behind
that. It's like it should be in the box.
That's going to be in the box.
Students that are
We'll see what happens in an hour.
Exactly.
All right. Thanks. speak first.
So now the answer is staying in the back. So until they're like 75.
Councilor Yao. Councilor Rosalind. Councilor Bose.
Here.
Foxborough Councilor, oh, sorry, Councilor Adwan, is he here? Nope. Councilor Hennessy. Councilor Chung. He's not here. Foxborough Councilor Ahmad is here. Councilor Sunday. Again. Councilor Azuki is in the live stream. Councilor Hadouche.
Yep.
Councilor Campbell. Councilor DePinto is in the live stream. Councilor Agarwal.
Here.
Councilor Grisby. Councilor Bruce. Not here. And Councilor Belthor. So once again, you'll each have 4 minutes to speak during debate. If you so choose, if you'd like to speak, placard up. When I acknowledge you, I'll write your name down. There's already got two people on there. I'll add you as well. I will be timing the 4 minutes. I will be timing the 4 minutes to make sure that we actually keep this as close to on by the book as possible. I see a bunch of people want to be added here. I will add them as we are speaking, beginning with Councillor Hussein. You were still on the first of the speaking list. If you'd like to speak, you can placard up. Taking this in the order that I'm seeing them. Trying to balance it. Councillor Hussein?
Biggest question to have my
got you free, you're good. Got you, Councilor Wally.
Is as a business student, the BSC has a fee that really goes towards innovation. And in the long term, our faculty is proposing university. Why should I even care about this fee in the first place? Because A, in the long term, okay, you're getting and but in the short run, you have a fee that's dedicated towards innovation in the first place. So from a hustle perspective, I think everything is fine, everything is good. But as a business student, why should I care about, or why should I commit ground for me to have a dedicated fee as well. So, and with future projects to put in a new building, what should I do?
Councillor Sunday.
So for myself, I feel like this has been a little rough. I see that there's still obviously some work to do here. I mean, you know, this is our second meeting in a row we're meeting to talk about this question. I feel like, you know, given the option that students cannot opt out of this, especially for at such a high rate, I think that definitely student compensation should be first and foremost, and while I acknowledge that some was done, I question if it is enough. I asked the president of my faculty association, who said that there was one meeting to talk, an initial meeting to talk about this, but no follow-up. And I feel like if we are asking students to pay this amount of money, without being able to opt out, for it being in perpetuity to last forever potentially, there needs to be that consultation. If this was a student group asking for this, you better bet that we would be telling them the same thing. And if I think if the student union or student council doesn't hold itself to the same regard, I think that is not a good thing. So those are my initial comments on the question.
Councilor Rates.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I think this really needs to be a priority moving forward. There's been a lot of discussion around this item and a lot of interesting commentary brought up so far, and I think there's a lot of value that can be brought forward in this proposal. However, for me, the crux of the issue, I don't feel comfortable bringing this forward to students if we don't have written feedback from administration. I understand that it's recorded in minutes. However, bringing this forward to like 30,000 students to be bringing in millions of dollars from them, if we don't have that written feedback, if we don't have that backbone to rely on, I don't think it's fair to bring forward to students. So I will not be voting in favor of this referendum question, and by the process, this won't be happening this year, but I really hope it does continue to be worked on by like throughout the rest of this term and by future executives, because there is a lot of value in this proposal. I just don't think we have it right now. And that's all.
Councilor Reitz. Councilor Agarwal.
So I'm going to start off with saying that, like, I have been kind of on the fence for this, and it's been a lot of great discussion and debate and questions. We did do a survey for science students, and I must say that this was done quite late, and obviously it's not representative of all the students who are on campus, but we did get 48 respondents. And the theme that I'm seeing is that a lot of people are, so we did find that people, so about 60% of the people who did respond from science were not willing to pay the fee, but that does mean that there are about like 30 to 40% that are either a no or confused or don't have any reasons for it. So part of that was because of the old question, but I do believe that the new amended question, if we do include some of the changes that we talked about earlier, like putting in semester and putting in some of the more, like that you can't vote, or you can't opt out, sorry. I think the question as it stands right now would be something that we should give to the students to have them say and have their say in the vote. Yeah.
Thank you, Councilor Agarwal. Councilor Rizvi.
Yeah, so something that really is kind of weird for me for this whole like question is just how, I guess, muddy the line has become in terms of like how I'm feeling about the fee versus how, if we should even present the fee to students to begin with. The points that Councilor Rates and some of the other councilors have mentioned about the proposal and just it being like kind of weird and almost like it's such a haphazard situation. I think I'll just listen to some of the other points and kind of jump on either side. So yeah, I think there's been a lot of work done in terms of the effort that's been put in, like multiple sides, you know, from the counselors and the executives as well. So I think everyone deserves, you know, like not applause, but you know,
now.
Yeah.
Good job on everything.
Thank you very much. Councilor Molly.
All right, Onyx also conducted a survey that received around 31 respondents as of 3:30. I checked and it's still getting more responses. And generally, there was agreement that there's definitely is a lack of student spaces on campus 100%. Whether folks felt that it was their responsibility to improve this, there was more no's than yes, 29% saying yes, and then the rest saying no, and others with reasons why. And most of the reasons were because they did not think that it was mainly because they just thought that this is setting a precedent that is gonna be dangerous for students' advocacy in the future. Yeah, and I also have, so that's the survey. I don't know how many minutes I still have, Mr. Speaker.
Still 3 minutes.
3 minutes, amazing. So I also have thoughts regarding this. I think it's very inappropriate that exact things that they know what is best for students more than the students actually do themselves and say that, I quote, students don't know anything. And to, I said that there was a lot of blame that the counselors themselves felt that they did not do enough work to consult, but we could not really do that with only receiving a report nearly 24 hours ago. And I felt that it was inappropriate for counselor or president, actually, President Larson, to have shut down counselor's discussion and insist that we only vote without providing analysis. And I thought it was quite inappropriate that exact personally messaged certain counselors to convince them to vote a certain way. That was quite inappropriate of y'all's you saw the screenshots, that's what I was saying. But yeah, then this definitely needs more work before it's released. I will be voting based on the survey that we have conducted. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Molly. Councilor Staff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So business did not conduct a survey. I wish I would have thought of that sooner, but it was kind of, I just didn't think of it. However, I have been talking quite a bit with my faculty association for several weeks now, and their opinions on the students' union fee has kind of waned and went back and forth. However, with some of the most recent news, in particular today, about the fee being renewed every 5 years via referendum, and the committee that's made up of students at large, as well as student counselors, they've seemed to very much become willing and feel in favor of sending this to referendum. And as student counselor, I am therefore obligated to put their opinions forward and vote on their behalf. And therefore, I would like to speak in favor of this motion, in particular that this is a choice of whether or not we want to give students the opportunity to vote for or against this. And I do think it's very serious for us to say, no, we don't want to have students the opportunity. I do understand, and in particular, originally, the question wasn't open enough with a lot of these little nuances that are would affect students. But I think with some of the recommendations that have come forward, having it noted that it's going to perpetuity, having it noted that it has to be renewed every 5 years, it has to be approved by council, and so on, do flesh out the question enough that in students reading this, they'll understand. And with the report being out there and the marketing campaign and so on, they'll understand enough about it to make the decision for themselves. So once again, I am voting in favor on the basis of giving students the opportunity to speak for themselves. I think all of us as counselors do have the responsibility to represent our faculties in this room and in council on a lot of different decisions. But I think when we vote no, we don't want something to go to referendum, there has to be a very good reason. And I think initially with the way the question was done, perhaps there was. But now with a lot of this consultation with exec being open to making these changes today here, I think if the recommendations that were made go forward and the changes are made, I think the question would be ready for the student body to vote no or yes towards come the referendum. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Stapp. As the motion has now been spoken, both for and against subsidiary motions are on the table. If you'd like to make them, you must obtain the floor first. Like to make one of those motions. That includes amendments or tablings, postponements, those kinds of things. Councilor Bilak.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll begin by noting that I'm just so frustrated and confused. Like, being in arts, it's tough often just because, like, just the spaces suck, you know? Like, I'm extremely lucky because I can go to the Oasis room, and there's couch in there, and there's nice, there's a computer. But, you know, for everybody else, like, and there's spaces, but none of it's great. Like, Fab is a story to talk about by itself, probably, but, like, even in Humanities and Tori, you can see the little indents in the walls, and that's so uncomfortable, and the lighting is gross, and anyway, I don't know, yeah, I'll steal the fun different counts from Wally a little bit, but like the survey we got kind of agreed on that point at least, that there was a lack of space on campus, 64.5 thinking that there is, and then of course they all then agreed that, or later the consensus, or the majority said that they would not want to pay the fee. And I looked at the results from the annual survey from the Students' Union that was sent to us earlier today. I looked at some of the numbers, and I think I was able to understand them. But Arts had around, I think, 800 respondents, 878. And just if they were given the chance to do yes, no, or undecided on regardless of the question, to be fair, 52.5 agreed that they would want to do the fee, 33.8 against, and 13.7 were undecided. In the yes, no version, there was a 21%, there was yes, one with a 21.6% margin, which was second highest margin after data studies. And then also looking at the report that was sent, and then the report appendix to the report, the one by the planning student about the spaces, like there are five spaces that would consider arts in there. Four of them got Fs, one of them got a C. And like, I agree that like this process has been bad in a few different ways, and I don't think it's really anybody's fault, but just like the circumstances, but I worry that me voting no is just punishing art students for something that they didn't do, and that by me voting no, I'm taking the opportunity out of their hands to you know, have the say in how they want to improve the spaces around them. And so I just worry that like, you know, there's lots of problems in the art spaces, and it's going to take years to fix them no matter what. But I don't know, I'm getting tired, I guess, of like the problems there in the spaces, and it's just, we don't know, you know, we'll just take a longer, more time to fix. And so I'm thinking what's best, just based on like all the surveys and all the results we'll be saying here, what's best for our students? And I need to be fair to them, what's best for them, regardless of whether anything else is happening here. That's why I'm gonna vote. I don't know if it means yet, but that's my thoughts.
Thank you very much, Councilor Bielak. Councilor Hindu.
I will not be voting in favor of this fee, just due to the fact we don't have written agreement and the question is not up to par with something the students so wholeheartedly deserve from the Students' Union. I think it's responsible for us to get written agreement first, as if we don't, the money will only be going towards spaces in sub, and that's not what students are promised for this question. I love this idea, and I know how much this fund can help students at CSJ. This is very near and dear to my heart, and I believe students have, like, deserve to vote on this.
Also, Lee.
I'd just like to start by thanking VP Ripka on this plan. I understand that this is a difficult thing to organize and that the shortcomings with the governance process here haven't necessarily been anyone's fault. But that being said, I think the work that's being done this year does have some value, right, in that it can be built on next year by future execs and future councils to produce a future program which tries to solve the same goals. I do understand that this program is meant to address a very serious and urgent need on campus. Like Councilor Bielak said, I hate Tory, all my classes are in Tory, and it feels like something from like a, you know, really weird 1950s movie. But that being said, while the principle of this is not something I have a problem with, there's just too many problems with the governance process that's being done and what we're looking at today for me to trust that the referendum that is given to students will be able to fully and fairly inform them about everything that might happen. The lack of written agreements is extremely concerning to me. The possibility for potential changes means that there could be changes that even affect the spirit of what we're voting on, though I don't think that would happen. It's still too large of a risk. And the late and rushed consultation is, I think, just unacceptable for a proposal this large. It's not enough to talk to student leaders and the focus groups that we're doing for average students were last minute and poorly attended. I don't feel like they were sufficient. But the last and most important thing that I think we've all got out of this is that this rushed and chaotic governance process in council has hurt everyone's trust in governance and in this institution, right? And if we let this, I will acknowledge, I've made mistakes on this too. Like, at the last meeting, I was part of a lot of the chaotic things that happened. But if we let this pass, given everything that has happened, it lowers the bar for what we consider an acceptable standard of work in this council, and it's going to hurt the trust that students have in the work that we do. And I think that is one of the largest harms that could come out of this. So I've tried to be open-minded about this proposal. I've given it the benefit of the doubt. I tried to help in small ways of wording or things that I could to make it work even at this stage, but I feel like it's gotten to a point where I don't want to be too open-minded or too flexible to the point that I just compromise the principles that we should be all trying to live up to here. So I can't vote in favor of this, but I hope to see something similar come back next week.
Thank you, Councilor Lee. Councilor Belfour.
Okay. I will not be voting in favor of this motion overall. Starting out, I think that by even sending out this question to students, that it implies that it is their obligation. I mean, we are supposed to be supporting students, and we're supposed to be have this knowledge that we're supposed to share with them and stuff. And by sending something like this forward, it sends a message that that the students should have to pay for things like this, but it's not our responsibility. It is the university's responsibility. I think it's important to stress advocacy. Following that, we have gotten into the deferred maintenance right away, not right away, but just recently. Have we really explored all options for alternatives that would include all students? Have we really gone as we can to advocate for university? Is there other ways that we can do this? I just feel like we haven't explored all of those options. We haven't even consulted with our students. If there's ways that they want us to advocate in those ways, and I think that they don't entirely know all of the avenues that we can explore. I also disagree with the entire process, the way that it was brought forward. I think that, and this is my opinion, and I think a lot of people share this, is that this is just a way of getting around students will be known to fire forwards renovation. And I think even though it's been the discussion about this did start September, I don't think that it's fair to put it on the counselors and put it on us that we've had all this time to talk about this, discuss this, and we didn't get all the information until Friday. With the process and stuff, bringing the information in Friday, and then we added it, it was added to the last possible meeting before the deadline for this forward, even though we did have the arrow for the talking circle on the meeting that it was supposed to be, that is still technically the last meeting before the deadline that we would have had. And then having an emergency meeting, I don't think falls in line. It's not detrimental to the students' union, but the students that we have this meeting or have this discussion or have to work on this. I think a lot of it was put on to executives and counselors and stuff to work on the question when that's not our job, the other people have mentioned before too, that we wouldn't have done this the way that we did it if this was a student group, and that there has been a lot of abuse of power with how we put it forward and ensuring that it gets sent out and making sure that it goes out that way. And I think if we really are doing this for the students, that we would think deserves more time, deserves more input, deserves a thorough, thought out process, not us scrambling to write something on the board in the middle of the meeting. Also, I feel there was a lot of pressure to vote right away. For us to go, we have to decide on this today. I know that we added meetings, so maybe that kind of counters that, but I've seen this more than once. I think if we hadn't people hadn't expressed themselves and felt they were comfortable enough to make comments against it, that this would have got pushed through. I saw this last year with Article 5 and how people were just vote on it. We just gotta get through this and we just gotta whatever. And it silenced a lot of people's voices. It was really detrimental to a lot of students and stuff, and it was changed the following year. If we push something forward rushing it and not making sure that everyone's voice is heard and not doing it fully, then I think it's gonna first off make us look bad. It doesn't matter if it's look bad, it's just bad governors. It's not good for us to just push things through, especially if it has to be changed. And the quote mark was I'm gonna comment before about there's too many chiefs and not presence, I think, and I would say, like, as a chief in that room in that moment, his presence and his comments, and, like, I feel like he really, the things that he said swayed council in a negative way, because I don't think that, like, that swayed people from someone who works in the students' union, who would, like, I think, benefit more with something like this than, like, the students. And, like, a comment, too, about, like, students not knowing anything. Isn't it our responsibility to make sure that we know that they understand, like, the full potential of this, not just the positives, the potential positives, but also the potential negatives?
The rate of inflation onward in perpetuity. We can add to be explicit.
Where would you like that added?
Just after that sentence in the second to last bullet point.
Levy would?
Just say in perpetuity to finish the sentence.
Ah.
Okay, and then after, like, just before the bullet points in that paragraph, just start a new sentence that says part-time and full-time students will be assessed the amounts below, colon. Just above the bullet point beginning, so at the end of, just after Students Union, Students Council.
Part-time and full-time students
will be assessed the amounts below, as follows.
Lower as follows.
Below. And finally, please, in the first sentence of that little paragraph, this levy will create a fund that students may use to upgrade of their choice, comma, including the Students' Union building. Okay. Thank you. Do I have time to speak? Or are we going to go into debate?
No, that's the motion is separate from your debating points.
Okay.
Are you happy with the question as is now?
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. 4 minutes. Yeah.
So the reason that I haven't accepted some of the other feedback that was going on, for instance, the semester one, is we're trying to stay consistent with the terminology used by the university when they're assessing fees, and they do it on a per-term basis, simply because semester implies a very specific amount of time. And as we know, summer and winter differ based on that. Furthermore, doing an annual fee is very hard to judge also because certain students are in spring and summer courses, and so my annual fee would be different than their annual fee. So to keep it as a long-term basis as is listed here just makes it easier. So overall, I do have a lot of thoughts. I thank you once again for putting all your feedback in. It's great to see people that are committed to a cause such as this. A couple specific points to address. When we were going around talking about the amendments we'd like to see to the question, I was a little disheartened by some people that were saying this is not my job, when indeed it is. This is a fee that will be charged by the Students' Union, a Class A fee, and it is your job to make sure that the question is as legible as possible for students, similar to the way that you would amend a FAMP question or a DFU question. In regards to the consultation, I do believe that the consultation was quite thorough, and if at any point you had comments about the consultation, we were quite open to receiving feedback based on that. Ultimately, the best form of consultation is a referendum. So I understand that people have hesitations about the written support from the university. The university just takes time for everything. They have a really good governance process, so to get this written approval or support, it just would have taken longer than the 3 days allowed. So I do apologize for that, but as I said, it is in minutes. And in the for the concern that we wouldn't have done this for anyone else, this is simply not the case. I believe that last year an emergency meeting was called for Bill 5, so I don't think that that's a great argument. But overall, again, thank you for your concerns. I can take more questions at any point. If this is unsuccessful, I highly encourage you to run for VP Operations and Finance, because that is going to be a situation to deal with. But in any case, again, thank you, and we shall see. Oh yeah, I guess I should say, I'll be voting in favor. I think democracy is important, so.
Point of information.
Yes.
I just provide with council, the initial meeting for Bill 5 was not put forward by a student group. It was put forward by a student's council. So to say that, that in this situation, it was a student group would be different. I would think we can necessarily assess that from last year's instance, as this was a student's council issue that was brought forward by a student's council and not by a student.
Thank you, Mr. Sunday. For point of information,
point.
Please just say the information. It means to be done with it.
Point of parliamentary.
Yes.
Can you highlight the amendment in a different color until it's approved?
It was made by the mover of the original question, so it doesn't have to be approved.
Oh.
The individual who made the question.
Parliamentary inquiry.
Yes.
Did Emma, did you want, did Leapy Rivka, did you want to include the amendment to state that you can't opt out?
Yes. Thank you for that. So a final bullet point that says students may not opt out of this.
Below the other status students?
Yes.
Sides, but there are several people on the speaking list who would still like to speak, and there are people in the live stream who haven't had a chance to make their points yet. Once I've gotten through the people in the live stream, at least everyone else has already spoken at least once that's on the speaking list. Once we get through that, then I'd be more willing to accept a call to question. Okay. Students may not opt out from this fee, or may.
Students may not opt out of this fee. From this meeting.
Good.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Vice President Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do want to first say thank you to everybody who's voiced any opinions, whether it's been for or against. I think this is the best way to show how effective council can be in a process like that. And so thank you for your consultations, your thoughts. And the debate. We are voting on whether students should have a choice in this decision, not on whether we would vote yes or no personally in a referendum. So I'm voting yes to allow students a choice. This referendum, this levy gives us a chance to shape the kind of campus that we want beyond just the Students' Union building. We are the largest stakeholders on this campus, so for us to decide how our spaces get developed would be amazing. Written agreement from the university will, if we can't get it in the next couple of weeks, happen after we bring a real deal to the table, and this vote is showing the university that we're ready to play ball. Council will put this system in place if it's passed. Council will reevaluate if it should continue in 5 years. This is truly a student-controlled levy, and students will set the future of their spaces. The Meyer Horowitz Theater is severely outdated, and we're missing significant business revenue because of this. The Students' Events Initiative tried to address that, but students said they wanted a larger context, which this brings forward. So if this doesn't go forward this year, then what's the plan for the theater and our spaces in future years? Probably another proposal, where hopefully third time is the charm. There will be, if this passes into a campaign, there would be campaign materials, explanations, forum participation, taking questions from students on the campaign trail. Those who don't know or who are uncertain of how they would vote would have all of the available information to make that choice and let the campaign try to convince them. The provincial government will not fund these kinds of projects. They have other matters to see to, and the critical building maintenance being the big priority. The kinds of points that Councillor Belak is talking about won't be a priority for the provincial government for years. I saw the same thing at Campus St. Jean and in business and in the business building for years. So if this isn't successful, then I hope that we can all work to make sure that we give students a choice to decide in the future, for the future of our spaces. Something does need to be done, and none of us could ignore that fact. So if today is a no, then let's try to make tomorrow or next year or whenever a yes. So I want to give students a voice to vote to voice their opinions in the most democratic way possible. Thank you.
Was that being added? Thank you, Vice President Brown. Next up, we have a person from the live stream, the proxy for Councillor Ahmad. Let's put a statement in here. The process surrounding the approval of this referendum question has been plagued with a lack of transparency and failure to follow even the simplest due process of the Students' Union governance structure. The fact that we are even meeting today is, by definition, in violation of this council's own rules. I think the question itself was and continues to be ill-conceived and rushed without the proper thought and care placed on appropriate wording and feedback before today's meeting. That's the proxy for Councillor Ahmad. Councillor Hussain.
First of all, I should thank the NICS for putting the resource and time and money to make sure that we have something to improve the way our campus looks. So just giving student space is part of the mental health of the Russian world as well as student life in general. That being said, as much as we see the seats voting with the only yes or no, I think we should bear in mind what are the consequences we have to take. Because I might vote yes or no based on what I've heard or the 50% that I conducted, but that doesn't actually give enough to the student where I thought. Maybe there are 300 people in the faculty that would like to see as spaces that are embedded. Maybe that you are, because democracy is not all about the majority. You also want to empower those minority who want to see changes. Now, I'm not sure how much, if I did consult maybe 50-60, or I personally, sit on the fence because I don't agree with what the issue is. So let's vote based on analyzing what the education have, not on what we actually feel or think about this project. Because I think this process of has been in the operations and finance, but this is the second time it's coming, and by actually taking it to next year, it kind of takes away the duties of the vehicle for professional finance has to do that. Rather than maybe focusing on other works that they have to do for students, you focus on one project and you can kind of take the time, the quadrupled income, really sit down as time and resources that has been wasted for 3 years in a row. And with that, I think we should check the standards, the public time, the cost, the price. Because this is a cost to students. Money, the time, it's all on students' pocket, it's kind of on students' pocket. So let's try to evaluate that when we're actually making a decision. And as much as we can say that, this is how I feel about it, this is how the 20 people that I talked about thought about it, we're not actually giving the masses of the general public an opinion on what to say. So personally, I think that's what I want to say, regardless of your opinion, whatever, analyze your situation, analyze your. Also, by voting yes, you're taking a step to say, this is how I feel, this is the field that we have conducted, but let the master decide. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilor Bells.
Yeah, so thank you, Mr. Speaker. I agree with the councilors that students should have the different authority to the day one to renovate or have better student spaces or not. But one thing which we all need to consider is, do the students know the dynamics of what's going to happen? Like, for me, like the engineering students, do they know that, for example, if they say no, at the end of the day, if the total number of students of U of A say yes, they have to pay the fee. They don't know that, okay. I mean, honestly speaking, the engineering students actually don't need a non-academic space right now, because taking 6 or 7 courses, we don't have any free time for that room. And the other thing is, our buildings were renovated over the summer, and the only issue the students have got, like the engineering students have got, like whom I'm representing, they just need more outlets, and I don't think that a student need to pay $57 per year to pay for the outlet. It's insane. Like, there are more than 4,500 students in engineering. Can you imagine what's the amount of money?
money they will be paying for, like, outlet. And I think, like, if the students need outlet, they should, I mean, the faculty associations should address this problem to their own faculty. And if they can't do this, they just need to wait for 6 months to buy grants. So, yeah. And the other thing is, yes, I agree that the students should have the ultimate authority, but it is our job as the student leaders to refine that process for them, to let them know, okay, what's good, and to, I mean, bring on the good things on to their table. So yeah, I know that we need money, but I don't think this is the proper way of asking money, taking money, so I would be saying no.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Firstly, I may have been mistaken with the referendum. I don't know if this would be more of a point of information, but if it is a point of information, I was just hoping Emma could clarify the referendum point, just to make sure I was correct or wrong about that, just about it. 5 years from now being so that students can assess whether or not the view was used well and whether or not they want it to continue.
Yeah, that was a request for information, but yes, go ahead.
It will go back to referendum should Students' Council advise that it does.
So, thank you to Councillor Belcourt for pointing that out. That was helpful information for me. And I think it's still more or less what I was thinking it was, but thank you for bringing that up. I think there's a lot of good points brought here today, for sure, and I understand everyone's opinions. I do still think that it is a big deal not to give students the opportunity to say no, even if we think they will say no, because there still might be students, and we could be surprised, that might say yes. I also want to say it's fantastic. Once again, I personally didn't have the time over the last few days to put together a survey. It was really fantastic that Arts and Sciences did. But also, and this is meant to be a very careful criticism, but the sample sizes for those surveys were less than 100 students and might not necessarily be a representative sample, which I'm sure you understand. I believe that within the report there was a reasonably good size of students that were surveyed for this from all faculties, and I think that was obviously a larger sample and possibly therefore more representative. But I still think it is maybe that point by itself isn't necessarily enough to say, okay, clearly students don't want this now, so we shouldn't allow it to go to referendum. And once again, I think with the new points that were put into the question, it is more suitable now, and it does very transparently address all the things students have to consider. So I want to once again encourage everyone just to consider letting students have the opportunity to say no to this. And if they do say no, then that means obviously it wasn't ready, and in the future we could consider redoing the fee. But if they said yes, then hopefully that's because they want to start seeing this happen soon. But thank you for the criticisms, and once again, great job with the survey, guys. That's everything, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Next item from the live stream. This is the only other item from the live stream I have as of now. Councillor Aizuki says that I believe that this is a good start to the proposition. However, there should be more work that needs to be done before it can be brought forward to students.
So I just wanted to reiterate what I and other councillors have said thus far. First of all, there's no written agreement between the university and the student union. And as history would tell us, you know, oral agreements are not enough to bind people or organizations for what they do. Second, the process around this has been incredibly rushed. In our oath of office, which each one of us takes as members of Students' Council, it states that we must make decisions knowing the facts, not before. However, we did not receive this large report until 24 hours before the meeting. Even worse, we were not given the statistics from the Student Union annual survey regarding how students reacted to the various fee questions until 2:30 p.m., less than 2 hours before we were scheduled to meet today. If this was a student group who was leading this petition, we would not be debating this here, and this would be unacceptable for a student group to withhold this information. What message would this send to students? If we say that students and student groups are held to a high standard or a different standard, but the university but the student union is not, should we vote yes on this motion, as was stated by Councillor Lay, this would only increase student distrust in governance. I'm not saying no to the question itself. I'm just saying that this should be worked on more with more student consultation, more student at large is involved, so they can have their say on it and then bringing it forward next year. I'm not saying not to give students a chance to vote on this now. I am saying that we should afford students the respect they deserve by giving them unquestioned answer, which I do not feel is currently it is currently at this stage. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sunday. Councilor Reitz.
I'd just like to re-stress, re-highlight the point that I brought up earlier, and it was just restated that we don't have written agreement or written confirmation from administration. The crux of this whole proposal relies on the university working with us, and so we were to vote in favor of putting this referendum question forward, and suddenly that support lapses. This whole proposal doesn't even really work. And so I understand that there was verbal confirmation and that it was confirmed in minutes, but I think students really deserve to have that written confirmation, very explicit, in advance of this even being put forward. If that were to not come true, then I think there's a lot of repercussions from that that we should all be seriously weighing. I forgot to mention this earlier, and it's been brought up multiple times now, but a side point, I do really appreciate all the work that's gone into this, but I think that point that I just brought up should all weigh very heavily on our minds, because this whole proposal does not even work if we do not have the ability to work with the administration very, very closely on this.
Councilor Wally.
I think the fact that we're all very confused really points to the fact that this is not ready at all. And I echo everything that everybody said, but I come back to the fact that we're also confused about what the heck this is, that I think it needs more time. So I'll be voting not in favor today.
Request for information.
Yes.
Can you please read out the rest of the second line sheet?
There are the only three people we have left on the speaking list are people who have not spoken yet. What's that? So once these people are done, I think that'll be literally everyone who has spoken then. So we'll go to Governor Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So we've had a number of people say that we should vote yes so we can send this to the general student population so students can have their say. But students have already had their say. Last year, we were all elected to do a job, and one of those jobs is to review proposals like this to make sure that they're above board and that everything's done in a proper manner. The way that this is brought to us and the way that we had to call two special meetings and how we had received a large document for review in 24 hours in an attempt to kind of cram this through is lazy and sloppy governance. And by voting yes to this, we're agreeing that we're perfectly fine with lazy and sloppy governance, and it sets a bad precedent for future motions down the road. If it comes at the cost of students, so be it, but this, we can't set a precedent that we're okay with this.
Thank you, Mr. Clement. For President Larson on the live stream. I am in favor of sending the proposed question to a referendum. I believe that counselors and students have brought a number of questions in regard to this levy, as well as expressed that they expect a level of excellence in the management of the levy. It will be a challenge to communicate the levy in its whole and answer these questions and concerns. However, I believe VP Ripka is prepared to do, and I believe in good faith that the future councils will handle the governance excellently. In the end, I believe strongly in students' ability to democratically decide if they support this fee or not. Cheers. Now we'll go to Councilor C. I was panicking because I don't know. Vice President Ripka.
Okay. The only reason I don't think it's necessary is because it says explicitly that you cannot opt out from this meeting, implying that it's mandatory.
Okay. Can we say that
it's
mandatory though?
We do say we have to opt out from this meeting.
So like
after.
So like anything that you can't opt out of is mandatory?
Yes, that's what that means. That means the students must pay.
Okay.
Yes.
If somebody wants to make an amendment, you can make an amendment, and then we can vote.
Yes, if you'd like to change it, please make an amendment.
Yeah. Sorry, can I do that? After the first.
Would you like to make it now?
Yeah.
You can make that. Would you like to make an amendment to the question? Okay, well, what is the amendment you would like to make? Where would you like that set?
Students may not opt out from this fee. Students may not opt out from this mandatory fee.
Okay. Vice President Ripka, is that amendment taken as friendly?
I'm going to take it as hostile just because I think it's a redundancy.
Okay.
I think it makes sense.
I think I'm actually going to, because the amendment does not actually change the purpose and how can I word this? It does not actually change the statement in the question. I'm going to rule that out of order. Because by saying you cannot opt out from this fee is the same thing as saying that the fee is mandatory.
But isn't, because you know some fees you can, like go into the dental one, go into it and opt out of it. Like.
Yep. And that fee would not be mandatory. If you disagree with what I'm saying, you're willing to challenge here, but I'm going to say that's out of order because I don't believe that the word mandatory is necessary with the statement of being opt out.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know, I did my best, so.
How's
that
you
do? Can you guys please call question events?
Now you may call the question. Well, here, there's one thing left in the live stream, and then we'll call the questions. The only person on the speaking list. Well, there are many concerns, and that after this, I will close debate. This is Councillor DePinto.
Wait, sorry, I wanted to finish what I was saying after that. Because I said the mandatory thing, and then I still have one.
Okay, I'll let you finish.
So, but I hope like next year we won't try to pass something in like this fashion where like everything is so rushed. You know, but I guess next year's council will be different, so I mean I hope everyone listening here will, you know, for next year's council will try to like be more like orderly.
Thank you. So from Councillor DePinto, while there are many concerns regarding the extent of consultation, the question wording and the poor governance that has led to this point, my primary concern remains with the integrity and the feasibility of the question. I assume that formal university agreement had been obtained from the very start of this process, and only realized recently that this is not the case. This should have been a first step, not something to deal with later. It is not our job to predict what students' response would be to this question. It is our job to ensure that any question we put to referendum is fair, feasible, and well thought out. So without being able to trust that the question is feasible, and without being able to trust that I will not face serious troubles with implementation, I cannot support this question with confidence. That's from Councillor DePinto. And we will close debate there.
I'd like to call for division on this motion.
Call for division.
Yes, please.
That is in order, as it always is. For those of you who don't know what that means we're going to go through the roll, and you will be each given an opportunity to say yes or no to the question. So those of you in the live stream, please, in the public chat, write yes or no as your response to the question. When I call your name, you may respond in the affirmative by saying yes or aye. You may respond in the negative by saying no. President Larson. That's a yes. Vice President Batnagar.
Yes.
Vice President Brown.
Yes.
Vice President Ripka.
Yes.
Vice President Bourgeois.
Yep.
Governor Flanagan.
No.
Councillor Lynn. It's a no. Councillor Anderson. Jimmy's still here. Councillor Anderson is still here, but he's going to be. All right, missed this chance. Councillor Reitz?
No.
Councillor Wally?
No.
Councilor Hosseini is a no. Councilor Belak?
No.
Councilor Cutarm? It's a no. Councilor Lee?
No.
Councilor Hussein?
Yes.
Councilor Stapp?
Yes.
Councilor Seat?
Yes.
Councilor Ansari? It's a no. Councilor Yao is not here. Councilor Roseland, I believe, is still not here. We'll check those two. They're not here. Councilor Bose?
No.
Councilor Hanasek is not here. Councilor Chung is not here. Proxy for Councilor Ahmad votes no. Councilor Sunday?
Absolutely not.
Councilor Nguyen is not here. Councilor Azuki is a no. Councilor Hadouche?
No.
Councilor Kim is not here. Councilor DePinto? Is a no. Councilor Agarwal?
Yes.
Councilor Rizvi?
Councilor Rizvi?
No.
Councilor
no.
No. Councilor Bruce is not here. Councilor Belcourt? Tally. In favor, 17 against. Motion fails. And with that, is there any motions? Any items from the floor? I will take attendance. We will get out of here. President Larson is in the live stream. Vice President Bhatnagar. Vice President Brown.
Here.
Vice President Ripka.
Present.
Vice President Bourgeois. Governor Flamin.
Here.
Councilor Lynn, I believe, is here now. Check. She is. Councilor Anderson. Is. Wasn't here. He is no longer here. He's here for the vote. Councilor Rates.
Here.
Councilor Wallen.
Here.
Councilor Hussein is in the live stream. Councilor Belak.
Here.
Councilor Cutarm is in the live stream. Councilor Lee.
Here.
Councilor Hussein.
Yeah.
Councilor Stapp.
Here.
Councilor Seat.
Here.
Councilor Ansari is in the live stream. Councilor Yao is not here. Councilor Roseland is not here. Councilor Bose?
Here.
Councilor Adwan is not here. Councilor Hanasek is not here. Councilor Chung is not here. Question for Councilor Ahmad is in the live stream. Councilor Sunday? Councilor Nguyen is not here. Councilor Azuki is in the live stream. Councilor Hadouche?
Yep.
Councilor Kim is not here. Councilor DePinto is in the live stream. Councilor Agarwal?
Here.
Councilor Rizvi is no longer here. Councilor Bruce is not here. And Councilor Belcourt.
Here.
And I am here. Meeting adjourned.